Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, good evening. Okay, kol kavod. Everybody's getting out of their house, even on Hanukkah. It's really amazing. Really amazing. So let's learn a little bit. The Rav Shiva Goldberg has like four pieces on Hanukkah, and I tried to cut and paste, and I don't know if I did a good job of putting together something that's coherent. If I had another 2 hours to prepare, I'm sure it would have been much better, but we'll deal with what we got, and we'll take that as it. Let's start with a line from the Sfas Emes, the Ger Rebbe. Sfas Emes writes on the Siddur Kishomba, we say in Halanisim, Kishomda Malchus Yovan HaRashah, Alam Cha Yisrael HaShkicham Teir Asecha, Ula HaAviram Luchukei Ritzonecha. I couldn't find what I needed to put on the sheets. I just photocopied the paper. We'll get to that later. Anyway, so the sitter, so saying Alanitsim, if you ask anyone in school, what are the three things that Chazal say the Greeks were gozer on the Jewish people? We would say
Bris Mila.
Shabbos.
Torah.
Rosh Chodesh. Are the main ones. Chodesh, they were gozer, no Rosh Chodesh. How do they say in the kindergarten play, the second grade play? No Torah, no Rosh Chodesh, and no Bris Milah. Those are the things that you're not allowed to do. What do we say in Al HaNisim? In Al HaNisim, so Chazal phrases it a little bit differently. Very interesting phrase. What does that phrase mean? Lahashkicham Teresacha. How would you translate that? Meaning?
To get up?
Did you forget?
Oh.
Lahashkicham Teresach. What we say in Alanism is that Yavan, this evil kingdom of Yavan, tried to get Klai Yisrael lahashkicham to forget their learning. And to remove them from fulfilling the mitzvahs. So, to forget their Torah, I would have said it much simpler. I would have said, Kesha'amla Yavan harashal amcha Yisrael, to levatel Torahsam, to stop learning, not to be mekayim Torah, lahashkicham Torasecha, to forget their Torah, which is an interesting way of phrasing it. On this, the Sfas Emes makes the following comment: lahashkicham Torasecha, Torah de ispa shikcha, that there should be a Torah that has forgetfulness, as if to say there is a Torah without forgetfulness, and what Yovan was after was a Torah with forgetfulness. Ashkicham Torasecha, a Torah of forgetting, or a Torah of forgetfulness. And so what I'd like to work through is the Rosh Hashiva's understanding of this comment of the Sfas Emes. What does that mean, that the Greeks were after a Torah of shikcha, a Torah of forgetfulness? And so to do so we'll go to the Parsha. It's a Parsha Shir. Let's go to Yosef. Torah describes, V'loi zochar sar ha-mashkim as Yosef ha-ishkachel. This is the very end of last week's Parsha, which leads us right into this week's Parsha. Yosef, of course, has his incident with the two officers of Paro in jail. How long has he been in jail when he has this episode?
5 years.
Longer. Longer. 10 years.
Yeah.
10 years he's in jail already. 10 years he's wallowing in this deep dungeon, this prison. And then he runs into these two officers of Paro. And he goes through the dreams and he interprets each one. And exactly as he interprets, so it happens. And then he says to the Sar HaMashkim on his way out, don't forget about me. Twice he says to the Sar HaMashkim, Loshen of Zichartani, or Vahizkartani. Twice he says, remember me in front of Paro. And so Chazal has some strong words to say of Yosef. So the Torah concluded last week, V'lo Zochar Sar HaMashkim as Yosef. He did not remember Yosef, Vaishkachehu, and he forgot him. That's what the Torah says. Says the Zohar, Kevon de Omer lo Zochar Sar HaMashkin. Once the Torah says that he didn't remember him, Mahu Vayishkachehu, what's the additional concept of not only did he not remember him,
he forgot.
I know that. He didn't remember him. If he didn't remember, he forgot. Says the Zohar, Ela Vayishkachehu Asar de Ispe Shikcha. Yosef was thrown into a place that has forgetfulness. V'dohu kates the sitra de choshech, and that's the end of the area of darkness, which we'll leave aside exactly what the Zohar means with that. But his place of forgetfulness is a place of darkness, where he was forgotten. Vayimi Kech Nasayim Yamim, and then when our parsha begins, it was the end of 2 years, Ma'ush Nasayim, the Sav Darga that he returned, like Shanah to return over, he returned to his place, L'Darga De'Izbe Zechira. That Yosef was sent into a place of forgetfulness, and then was returned to a place of remembering, remembrance. So says the Zohar. So you have this idea of Lehashkicham Torah Secha, Torah that is a forgetful type of Torah, and that Yosef was forgotten, and he was thrown into a darga, a place, an area of forgetfulness, and then he was remembered, and he was brought back into a place of remembrance. What did Yosef do to deserve all of this? What happened to Yosef that all of a sudden he was put in this place? So Rashi quotes, as you're all familiar, I'm sure, "V'lo zachar sar hamashkim es Yosef ha'ishkachehu." It's an extra shin in there. Rashi says, "V'nei shetola bo Yosef b'tchuno lezichro," because he placed, he hinged, so to speak, his belief, his bitachon, his faith in the Sar Hamashkim's remembering him. He put his trust in a human being. Huzkoglios asur shte shanim nosafos. He was required to be there for 2 additional years. When the Zohar says he was thrown into a place of forgetfulness, that's not referring to his entire area or time that he spent in jail. He spends a total of 12 years in jail, but only 2 of those years are places of forgetfulness. Only 2 of those years are something dark. And those are the last 2 years. And what did he do for those last 2 years? Rashi tells us he took his faith, which should have been in the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he switched it over, so to speak. He put it into the hands of Hashem. Now, this is always a very perplexing Rashi. Every year, Parshas Mikas, we have to deal with this. Because we know that we have to deal with this, what's called Hishtadlus. Yeah, we have to do our part. Yeah, you got to buy a lottery ticket, so to speak. And that's how we live our lives. We live our lives doing things. And we're required to do things. And yet Yosef seems to have done something fairly reasonable. He asks the Sar Hamashkim to put in a good word for the chief of staff, like, get me out of here, tell Paro that I can, whatever. And here he's just lambasted by Chazal for it. And he spends an extra 2 years... 2 years wallowing in jail because of it. And I think when you put it in context, you see why for Yosef this was a problem. As the Medrash points out, Ashrei HaGever Asher Sam Hashem Yiftacho V'lo Pano El Rehovim. Should be Rehovim, not Haravim. Praiseworthy is a man who places Hashem as his trust, or his trust in Hashem, and does not turn to the arrogant. So the Medrash Darshan's Ashrei Gevesher Shamas Miftacho Zel Yosef. Hello, Pono El Rehovim, and he doesn't turn to the arrogant. Al Yidei Sha'omer Lesar Hamashkim Zachartani, and Vehiz Kartani says it twice. Nitoisef Lo Shtei Shanim. But you have to contrast that with Yosef before and after. What happened when Yosef comes down to Mitzrayim and he's in the house of Potiphar, and Potiphar recognizes something's different about this person. He's matzliach in everything that he does. And Rashi says, quoting the Medrash, what was so different about Yosef? Rashi says, Shem Shamayim, or Shogar, everything he did, the Ribbono Shel Olam this, the Ribbono Shel Olam that. The Medrash uses a language as he's walking around the house. Always, Hashem has helped me in this. Hashem has helped me. Hashem bitchuni. Hashem is my source of strength. Hashem is my salvation. Hashem is my solution to all my problems. He walked around. He's in Mitzrayim. He's what we spoke about last week. Yosef is the first Jew into Galus. And what does he do? He's the one talking about the Ribbono Shel Olam. Well, that's all he does. I would almost say, and I'm not making any political comments here, but when you think about Chabad, they are alone in a world that has no shaykhis to Judaism. And they're walking around with their hat and jacket. They are Ribbono Shel Olam, God this, God that. And you're like, where do they get that strength from? Like, the rest of us would be like in the back room. I hope nobody notices me. And it's like, I don't know, I'm uncomfortable, I'm out of place here. That's Yosef. Yosef is the Potiphar. This is a God-fearing Jew. He's the only one in the tribe at this point. Mitzrayim is the cesspool of the world. And Yosef is walking around, just, Vayasha Miftacho. That's Yosef prior. And then when we see Yosef afterwards, when the brothers show up, and Yosef has 2 different times when he speaks to them, and they say to him, you know, your father made us promise, and he cries, and he says, Lo atem shalachtem osiheinu. You think it was you who did this? You tried to do me harm, but Hashem had plans. And he's constantly, it's not, I don't have anything against you. You don't run the world. You don't make decisions. Ribbono Shel Olam sent me here. He comes out of jail, and Paro says, I heard you know how to deal with dreams. Now, Yosef has been in jail for 12 years. Literally in 10 minutes, whisked out of jail, shaven, showered, clothed, put in front of the most powerful person in the world. Within 10 minutes, he went from 12 years of jail. In those days were not quite like the facilities that we have today.
Why he was in jail?
Paro, he hears this. His said, Paro's never heard of him before. Right. Paro's got this dream he can't figure out. The Sar Mashkim says, Oy vey, es chato oy ani maskir. I remember there was a slave, a Jew boy, a nothing, but he knew how to do Jew. Paro says, let me speak to him. Boom! Torah's like all these verbs. They ran down, they cleaned him up, they showered him, they shaved him, they put him in front of Paro, and Paro says, I have a dream, young man. Like, immediate. And Paro says...
Paro knew who he was, and I'm just going to fast forward, when the brothers came down and he did all that, I don't know who you are kind of thing. Paro knew the true...
Just that he was... Paro should have known that he was a Jew. He was introduced as a Jew, so... If
there were not many Jews.
Not too many. It's hard to know exactly
that's
the same. Paro, how that was working at that point, unclear.
Paro
was told that there was a Jew... Nar, Ivri, that's how he was described. So that's an interesting point, putting that together.
Nar, Ivri, into power.
He just worked.
Correct.
Well, maybe he did know.
It's possible that Paro knew.
Well, he didn't have to, it's because the Shvatim didn't know. But
yeah, didn't. And Paro might not have been there when that's happening. You know,
no, but right now there are only like 70 Jews around.
I know what I'm saying is, Paro did know, but that doesn't mean that the Shvatim knew.
No, I know, but Paro kept a secret.
Yeah, if he knew what was going on.
Them.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. But what's the first thing out of Yosef's words? He's standing, right? Biladai Elokim. So if there was any point where Yosef could have said, yeah, I can help you. This is his ticket out. And his first thing is, it's not about me. I don't do anything. This is the before and after. The Yosef before in Mitzrayim and the Yosef after are where Chazal see, this is the Yosef who says to the Sar HaMashkim twice, don't forget about me.
So why did he deserve 10 years in jail? What did he do before that?
Okay. He said like 2 years for every person, the brother he spoke with him
about.
That's what I
heard. Could be. I don't have an answer. Could be. So Chazal say that's where Yosef is. This man of Bitachon, this Yosef HaTzaduk, who a Yosef HaRoya, as son of it, the same Yosef shepherding his father's flocks, the same Yosef in Mitzrayim. And we see in the way that he speaks, in every instance in which he opens up his mouth, Yosef HaTzaduk is speaking about the Ribbono Shel Olam. In every, always.
But even when he was in jail, and he had this thing to the baker and to the, he also said, I can only say what Hashem says to me.
Constantly.
So if he's saying that, then even his effort
later,
should have been with Hashem is helping this. You know, but I'm saying you don't see a gap.
When he speaks to the Sar Mashkim, you see the gap. That's the one gap.
But in the sentence before, he said, I can only say what Hashem says to me.
But then when it happens, which is not right, that when that happens a couple days later, and then he's out of this person who's always attached to Hashem, he says, don't forget about me. And Chazal seeing that, whatever level that is, it's way beyond us. In other words, if we just look at that in a vacuum, like, I don't know, that's what we should do. You should always do your shtadlis. You should look for the opportunities that the Ribbono Shel Olam sends. But for Yosef, that Chazal see as a lack. That's part one. I want to share with you a piece from Rabbeinu Yonah. It's on the other side. Rabbeinu Yonah is writing in Pirkei Avos. Rabbeinu Yonah, the first mission in the third parak of Pirkei Avos is Akavi ben Mahalal Lomer Histakel b'shlosha Dvarim. Always think about three things, and you won't come to do any averos. Know where you're coming from. Know where you're going. He says, and know before whom you're going to give a din v'cheshvan lefnei Melech Malchei Amlachim. So Rabbeinu Yonah wants to drive home the idea of what it means to stand before the Ribbono Shel Olam and give a din v'cheshvan. What that's going to mean. The Chafetz Chaim writes, what's the difference between din v'cheshvan? So he writes, din is going to be a judgment on all the things that you did wrong, that we did wrong. You know, din, you did this and that. You know, new, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to say, what? How do you explain that? And how do you explain this? That's going to be the din. The cheshbon is where you're just sort of, let's take a simple, innocuous example, just sleeping. And he's going to say, new. And you say, I didn't do anything wrong. I was asleep. And he's going to say, yeah, new. New. You could have been this and that, and you could have done that, and you could have done this. And you were asleep. Not just physically asleep in bed because you're exhausted, which is okay. We're asleep at the wheel. We're not doing things. So din are on all the things that we did wrong. You got to explain all that. And cheshbon is, who are you and who could you have been? How do you explain that? And what about that? So the Rebbe Yonah wants to drive to that point. If the Mishnah is not enough, which I think it is, the Rebbe Yonah wants to drive the point home. And he writes as follows. Ki teva haguf mishakeach. Very, very fascinating point. The teva haguf, what causes forgetfulness? Says the Rabbeinu Yonah, the nature of the physicality of our being. We are, of course, comprised of guf and neshama, and it's our guf, our body, our physicality, the teva, in its nature, causes us to forget. V'chiyase ish dover ki'ur. If a person does something humiliating, he does something disgusting, he's embarrassed. I can't believe I did that. He's humiliated. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Lishana o lishnatayim, let some time go by, a year, 2 years will pass. Yishakeach hadover. The mice of people forget. It'll be forgotten. And that humiliating, that feeling that you think back in our lives when those instances happen, that burning sensation in our faces, it's like so embarrassing. I knew we've all survived them. It's a year later, it's 10 years later, it's 20 years later. We move on. And he writes, V'gam ki lo yishakach milibo legamri. You don't forget the instance. You can still go back to that time and remember what it felt like. You remember what it was. Yehaboshes yoshan noshan v'husruk tzasa busha. But it's not the same. That feeling when it happens, that burning, powerful sensation, humiliation of, I can't believe that just happened. 2 years later, 3 years later, you'll remember the incidents without the feeling. Ki teva hashikcha shebaguf, because the nature of forgetfulness of the body, misarevim teva hanefesh, is mixed with the nature of the soul. The soul remembers everything for eternity. The body forgets. So there's a battle, there's a clash. The body wins, the body makes us forget. And even though it can't win entirely to make you forget everything, the body wins, the soul remembers. I remember what happened. That's the Kayach HaNeshama. The body downplays it, takes away the feeling, the emotion, the passion, but it's still there. It can't completely overcome the neshama's remembrance of it, but at least it downplays it. That's what happens in life, says Rabbeinu Yonah. What happens after life in this world? Ach, bios ha-nefesh levada. But when the battle's over, and the neshama travels on to our olam ha-netzach, to the eternal world alone, without the chumrios of the guf, without the physicality attached to it, ein shikcha lefaneha. There's no forgetfulness. That neshama carries with it our experiences forever. Kikula bora vizacha. It is all clear and pure. There is no nature of the physicality within it. And when that neshama stands before the heavenly court and has to give a din v'cheshbon, and the Ribbono Shel Olam says, no, how do you explain that? And the neshama is embarrassed. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, li'olam u'li'ol me'ad ta'amod bebusha. That's called Gehenna. Sitting in your embarrassment, and then in life, so everything is like a me'ein olam haba. So we sit in the humiliation, and in that instant, there is no salvation. Like, this is going to be the worst day of my life, and it doesn't end. But it does. You just wait it out. Just give it 10 minutes, 20 minutes. It eventually dissipates. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, that's because you have a guf. But when the neshama stands alone, that's lenetzach. That's eternal. There's no forgetfulness. That busha just remains there forever. As I said, I think the Mishnah stands pretty powerfully, but Rabbeinu Yonah really just drives a nail in. You keep these three things in mind, you'll never come to do any avera. You remember that, says Rabbeinu Yonah. You'll be just fine. Lemaisa, what does this have to do with us? you have a concept of, I mean, it has everything to do with us, but you have shikha and you have zechira. And the koyach of zechira comes from the neshama. Koyach of the remembrance, ability, things that stay, they're part. Bara v'zacha. They're clear, they're pure. It's the body that causes forgetfulness. The Gemara says actually on your sheet, so second line down after where we stopped. Al yiftar adam mechaveru mitoch divrei halacha. When you separate from your friend, you both go your separate ways. You should only do so mitoch divrei halacha. Just share halacha together. That's your final discussion. You share halacha and then you go part ways. Why, says the Gemara? Shemitoch kach zochreihu. If you share dvar halacha, you'll remember each other. Chazal is saying something powerful. The connection to maintain a zechira is mitoch dvar halacha. If you just part ways with, where's everybody up to? Very nice. Yeah, I'll see you later. So you'll forget. You have to attach that to the dvar halacha. If you're al yiftar adam mechaveru mitoch dvar halacha, mitoch kach zochreihu. You'll always remember. Which is why Chazal says, it's also awesome, about another paragraph, before the Shviras Haluchos, before the first Luchos were broken, the Gemara says, Lo Sholot Behem Sar Shal Shal, there was no concept of Shikcha in the Klal Yisrael. Hayu Lameidin Veinin Mishtachin. They would learn and never forget. The idea that we have now, that we learn, we forget, we learn, we forget, we learn again, then we don't remember, did I even learn this before? I don't even remember even having learned this. And it always feels like new. Kol Yom, the Gemara says, Kechadoshim, it should always be like new. It's easy, I don't remember anything that I learned anyway, so it always feels like new. That's the guf. That's the Shviras HaLuchos. When Moshe broke the first Luchos, we fell a darga, a significant darga, where that balance between the Shom and the guf is weighted towards guf, and we forget a lot. And the more that a person is ruchni, the more he remembers. That's the way it goes. The more that a person is subject to his guf, and is tied down to the oilam hazeh, so you don't have the kelim, you don't have the tools to remember divrei Torah, because you're in the guf section. And the more that a person is holding in dvarim ruchniim, the more he remembers. Because that's the kayach of part of his essence that has that ability. That's the balance that we're always struggling with. The guf pulls, forgets, and the neshama pulls up and is clear and is pure and remembers. If you look at the layout on the other, back to the other side of the sheet, so Chazal darshan, the very second pasuk in Bereishis, v'ha'aretaisa sovu vavovu v'choshech al p'neisahon. The Torah describes the land, the earth, the world was tovu vavohu, it was void, it was chaotic, it was darkness in the depths of the deep. V'ruach elokim v'rachefes al p'nei amoyim. Rashi quotes the Chazal, that Chazal see in the very beginning of creation the concept of the Arba Golios. There'll be four different exiles that the Jewish people will have to endure, and it's embedded in the beginning of creation. That's part of what has to happen. In order to get to Ruach Elokim Rachefes Al Pnei Amayim, to get to the Spirit of Hashem, there have to be Tohu and Vohu and Choshech and Tohom. And Chazal Darshan, Shimon Ben Lakish, Pasuk Kro Begolios, this Pasuk is Darshan, the Medrash says, in regards to Golos, V'horot Haisa Tohu, Zehu Golos Bavel. The first destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Chazal quote a Pasuk, which I, to shorten the quotes, took out, in which they Darshan Tohu from the nation of Bavel who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. V'vohu, Zehu Golos Madai, and the Gemara quote, the Medrash quotes a pasuk from the story of Esther, the Purim story, a Persian exile following the first destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. V'choshech, that's during the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, Zehu Golos Yavan. Where do we see Yavan as choshech? Where is Yavan? Darkness. Shehechshicha einehem shel Yisrael b'gzeirosehen. They darken the eyes of the Jewish people through their gzeiras. Darken their eyes. What do eyes do for us? Our ability to see, to determine right from left, to know what to do, how to live. And Yavan darkened the eyes of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, they're known as Choshech. Haiso Omeres Lohem Kisvu Al Keren Ashur. You need to write on this horn of Ashur. Shein Lohem Chelok Belukeyes Yisrael. The Yavanim made the Jews declare, we have no Chelok in the Elokei Yisrael. And Al Pnei Sahom, the depth of fourth Golos is Golos Mamlechas HaRasha, which is the Golos that we're in right now, the Wicked Kingdom, which is an extensive, long, put-together kingdom. which is going to be the endless depths of the deep, which is what we're experiencing now, and which will lead to Ruch HaShemelech HaMashiach Ruch HaLukim Rechav HaSal Panei Mayim. So what does it mean, Golus? It's such an interesting thing Chazal say by Yavan. They told us to write Ein Lanu Chelek BeElokei Yisrael, which is almost like a contradiction in terms. We want you to say that you have no portion in the Elokei Yisrael. It would have been much easier to say it straight and say, there is no. We want you to declare, there is no Elokei Yisrael. There's no such thing. What do they make us write? There is, but we are not connected to him. We have no chelek in the Elokei Yisrael. So the Shiva pointed out two interesting things by Galus Yavan. It's the only Galus that we find where it takes place where? In Eretz Yisrael. It's a Galus in Eretz Yisrael. Bovel destroy the Beis Hamikdash, they send us into Galus Madai, and then the Galus of Tahom is a 2,000-year exile. It's this just eternally long exile. Doesn't seem to have an end, like the depths of the sea. Now, at the very end, we're returning back to Eretz Yisrael. That's the sign that it's coming back. But for the 2,000 years, just this endless sea. When will this end? When will this end? But Yavan is in Eretz Yisrael, and the Beis HaMikdash is standing. And in Eretz Yisrael, with the Beis HaMikdash, we're in exile. We also find, only by Galus Yavan, the concept of Misyavnim. What does it mean, Misyavnim? What is that?
So,
we're regurgitating all three of the Gauls and putting them all together in some way. But what does it mean to be a Misyavin? What's Misyavnim? They're Jews who adopted. There's no Misbavlim. The Babylonians came, and we're like, we don't want to be like you. They destroyed us, and they sent us into exile. We don't have Mismadim, but we have Misyavnim. There is a cultural. We do have it. That's literally what we're fighting today, that manifestation. So we can relate to this, of a Jew identifying as a Jew and wanting to be a Greek at the same time. And living a life as a Greek, not as a Jew. And that's having your eyes blinded. That's choshech. It's the concept of choshech. And what the Greeks wanted to do, many things. There are many different themes in Hanukkah that you could pick up on, but one of them is this idea of Ein Lanu Chelek BeElokei Yisrael. We don't have there is an Elokei Yisrael, but when it comes to living our lives, it's disconnected from the Ruchni. You live your life as the Greeks wanted to do, the body, and the celebration of the body, and you want to believe in intellect, you believe in what you want. But you can't live according to Ruchnius. You can't live your life the way you want to live your life. You want to study whatever you want to study. That's great. But you can't connect your studying to becoming a person of character, to becoming a tzaddik, to becoming a righteous person. Field of intellectual pursuit, Geiger says, hey, we're into that. But the intellectual pursuit never changes you as a person in Greek thought. And in Torah, there's no purpose, the Gemara in Bracha says, there's no purpose to limud Torah, ela tshuva ma'asim Torah. Everything is to bring us to a certain place. And that's the disconnect, that's choshech. Choshech is in which there's a total darkness of where are we going? What are we doing? And without the Torah, which is really hora'ah, which is a guidepost, it's a way to live, it teaches us what to do, and it's very practical. At the end of the day, what do we do? Always. So what do we do? How do we live? How do we behave? And when you separate those two, you end up in choshech. Choshech is also very much related to, therefore, Shekhar.
Letters, too.
Literally in the letters. It's the same three letters. It's the same concept. Because when the guf and the neshama are at odds, and the guf wins, the guf sends you into a place of forgetfulness. Because it's not a ruchniyistika Torah. If it's just a pursuit, it's another volume in the academia, in the world of academia to study, that's not a horah. And that's a Torah to ispe shikha. That is the type of Torah that has forgetfulness. Because the Torah is supposed to be the beacon of zechira. It's kula ruchni. And when you look back to Al HaNisim, what did Yavan HaRasha want? L'hashkichon Torah secha. They wanted Klal Yisrael to forget their Torah. Chazal choose their words very carefully. They don't want them not to have it. There is an Elokei Yisrael, but you have to forget it. What does it mean to forget it? To have a Torah, the Ispei Shikha. To have a Torah forgetfulness, which is, going back to Yosef, when does Yosef become in the Asar, the Ispei Shikha? When is he thrown into a place of Shikha? Only those last 2 years, when he takes his bitchoinoi ba'Hashem, he takes his faith, his trust that he had in Hashem, and he removes that. So when you're separated from that and you become contingent upon some human being, then you get thrown into a place of shikha. You remove the core, the essence of the Dovah Ruchni from it, and that's where you end up. And that's Yosef's Asher Gev Asher Sam Hashem Miftacho, Asher Sham Hashem Miftacho, and then Lo Pana El Rehavim. When he does, he's into a place of Shikha. And the end of that Shikha is, as you see, as he learns a lesson very clearly from everything that he says after that, is right back to that place of Ruchni. But there is such a concept of a Torah de Isbe Shikha, one that's disconnected from the element of the Ruchni, his neshama and his guf, as they fight over his ability to remember. And that's one of the battles that was fought with Yavon, who wanted themselves to take the Torah. They're the ones who translated it. They're the ones who wanted it, but they didn't want it as a Dover Ruchni. They just wanted it to be able to add it to their trophy, so to speak, of intellectual pursuits. And that is a Torah de Isbe Shikha, which is specifically what one of the battles of Chanukah is about. They were Mitame the Shemen. The Shemen is always representative of Chachma Satira. It means to be Mitame Shemen. Defiled, contaminated the oil. The oil which represents always Chachma Satira, the menorah is the or, the orah Torah, and you defile that. So the Mesiris Nefesh of the Chashmonaim, so the goof of the Nes specifically happens from a miracle of finding a Pach Shemen still tar, that still has its pure component, that had not been defiled of the Shemen, V'timu kol Hashmonim. Chazal say, it wasn't just that they became Tameh because the Greeks were around. V'timu, they went ahead and tried to be Mitameh, all of the oil, to say there is nothing there of Kedusha, there's oil, but it has to be Tameh. And that is exactly what we are after. That was some of Shiva's thoughts on Lashkicham Teresecha, and the element of Yosef's Shikha, Yosef's Choshech, and the Choshech of the Yevanim. Afreil Chinchanika.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.